This is the first nature psalm. God has revealed himself to us through his creation. His marvelous works stir our spirits to seek him and to exalt his marvelous wisdom and his praise. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. David began the psalm by magnifying the name of the Lord. And in Old Testament times, names represented character. The names were carefully chosen, and they were often changed, sometimes into adulthood when people's lives didn't quite line up or match exactly what the meaning of their name meant. And one of the ways that God has revealed himself is through his names. There are a myriad of names for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And David declares here that the name of the Lord was excellent or majestic. And this word in the original language, adir, means wide or large or broad. And it's translated through the whole Old Testament as glorious, mighty, noble, and worthy. And David began this psalm simply by uttering the words, O Lord, Yahweh, God's personal name. And that name means master or ruler. There is strength to that name. But Jesus made our approach to God even more personal. He taught us to address God as our Father. Our Father in heaven. And the Holy Spirit instructs us to cry out to God with the term Abba, Father, a term of endearment. You know, how blessed we are to live on this side of Calvary and to have God's completed revelation to humanity. We are blessed. You know, the writers of the Old Testament, they wrote about it, they spoke about it, they foresaw, but we're living in it. We're living in the prophetic realization. His name is power and glory. And in all the earth, it says in verse 1. Natural or general revelation, the revelation of God through his creation, reaches to every individual. Every person senses in his or her heart that there is a God who created the universe and that he is master of it. Multitudes ignore or deny that voice, but it does not change the fact that every person senses it. It tells us that in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 to 25. God longs for all people to know that he, Yahweh, is the only true and living God who is most high above all. Above all. It says, his glory is above the heavens. You have set your glory above the heavens. And the wording of this phrase is particularly interesting. It kind of means that God's glory, the shining greatness of his character, cannot be contained by creation, because his glory exceeds the heights of creation. The heavens and the earth can only partially express his excellence because the Creator remains far greater than anything that he has ever created. Amen? There's so much richness in this psalm. Listen, above everything that we can see, above the created heavens and the earth, is the glorious throne of God. Do you ever picture it? Do you ever picture it? God's glory is seen in creation, but it flows from his throne, which sits above the heavens. It's there at the throne of God where his glory and his holiness are continuously, unceasingly praised by the angels. Those were the verses that I read out of Revelation prior to the worship team stepping down. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That is going on right in this very moment. There is a host, like trajillion, gazillion, bajillion. I don't know. Angels worshiping around his throne. And we have the privilege every Sunday morning as we gather corporately to join in that choir. I really felt like we were there this morning. You know? Just picture yourself shoulder to shoulder with some of the angels worshiping and praising the Lord. Oh, one day, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Hey, no more crying there. Sorry, getting carried away. All right, where was I? It just came to me, sorry. Okay, I'll get back on track. I promise not to do that too often. You know, it's not necessary for God to turn to trained, Bible-believing scientists to skillfully argue the false claims of this unbelieving world. No. God sometimes defeats his critics with the simple praise of children who aren't yet old enough to reject the revelation that God has placed in their young hearts. Mm-hmm. Says so. In verse 2. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Jesus quoted this very verse when the Pharisees protested the praise of children in the temple in Matthew 21. He said, the leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting. The children in the temple shouting, praise God for the Son of David. But the leaders were indignant. They asked Jesus, do you hear what these children are saying? Yes, Jesus replied. Haven't you read the scriptures? For they say, you have taught children and infants to give you praise. Yes. How many times have we said our kiddos do not have junior Holy Spirit? No, they don't. And on Sunday nights, there's been a bunch of them gathering together for the last 9 weeks. Tonight's the last night of Giant Killers, and they have been learning to praise the Lord. They have been learning to worship the Lord, and I just pray that that just filters through the body of little believers in this assembly. Amen? Mm-hmm. Yes. See what I'm talking about? That's Declan having a good old time over there. So when we humble ourselves in childlike faith and believe the gospel, we will live eternally in the kingdom of heaven. We need to humble ourselves. We must become like children before we can enter the kingdom of heaven, humble and always ready to learn from the world around us. Sometimes us older people, adults, we have a hard time getting our heads there. We need to chill a little bit and become like little children and humble ourselves and have ears that are open to hear what the Lord is trying to say to you. God loves people. And this beautiful truth led David to exalt the majestic name of the Lord. He was amazed as he pondered God's passion for humans and the grace that he has extended to us. As David gazed into the night sky, he became lost in the majestic beauty and glory of the heavens. revealing just how great God is. We sang about it this morning. Great are you, Lord. David didn't know all that we know today about what is out there, but he contemplated the heavenly bodies that light the night sky, and he was amazed that it's all the work of God's fingers. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, each piece is arranged and intentionally placed according to God's good pleasure. Like an engineer carefully fitting together the pieces of a complicated machine, the Creator precisely created the laws that position each star in place that contribute to the full and complete operation of the universe that we exist in. Powerful. Like the potter forming his clay, the Lord shaped and he molded the planets and the stars and the galaxies and you. Consider how small and frail we are compared to the vastness of space, and yet God cares for us. God cares for you. Are you hearing me? God cares for you. No exceptions. David asked this question of the Lord: what is man that you would even give him a thought, much less care enough about him to come and help him? When David could see with his what David could see with his naked eye was enough to stir him to rejoice over God's care for people. And today, when we know so much more about the universe, how much more overwhelmed should we be that the one who is above all the heavens should give us a thought, much less give his son for us? Think of it. Think of it this way. We are less than tiny dots on the face of the universe. We are less than tiny dots. In proportion to God's vast creation, every one of us is smaller than a single grain of sand on the shore. But God loves us. Of all his creation, what we can see in the myriads of galaxies that are beyond even what our most advanced technology can see, of all his creation, we have been especially selected to be the receivers of God's favor and care. That should blow your mind. Of the trillions and trillions and megajillions of stars in the heavens, we are merely specks on one star. Yet we have been singled out to know God and to be the recipients of his great and his immeasurable love. Wow. That is incredible. As one commentator says, David's questions happen to be poetic devices to evoke a sense of awe and a place of proper perspective on one's self-worth. There's a purpose to his question here. He questions God for our benefit. Many people struggle with a poor self-image. Excuse me. The purpose of this psalm is to teach just how important we are to God and how valuable we are to him. We know in Jeremiah 1 and 5 that he planned a wonderful life for you. He carefully formed you according to his blueprint, his own specifications. He created you. And those physical features that you'd change if you could were carefully programmed into your DNA by a loving creator who delights in your uniqueness. You are fearfully, wonderfully, uniquely created by the Father. As you developed and grew before birth, those characteristics were sculpted by the very finger of God. You are not just another copy that has been stamped out by any old ordinary mold. You are an individual masterpiece. I want you to get this morning. You are an individual masterpiece. And if your brain is having a hard time accepting that this morning, shift down to your heart for a moment, would you? And get it, that you are a masterpiece. Not only that, but he continues to keep a careful watch over you. The verbs in verse 4 are in the original language in the imperfect tense, which means continuous action. God knows every detail about your life. He even keeps count of your hairs, which are constantly changing, and some more than others. Human beings were made a little lower than the angels, not evolved a little higher than apes. There's a distinct separateness of man and animal. Amen? Amen. Yes. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, not a little bit better than chimpanzees, and crowned him with glory and honor. Wow. We're just a little bit lower than the angels. God knows everything about you. Everything. Angels is used in the Old Testament to mean gods or supernatural beings. And the Greek translation says angels here, as does the author of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 7. We're a little lower, just a little lower than the angels. He's aware of everything that happens in your life. He knows every burden, problem, and heartache that you face. He weeps when you weep. He rejoices when you rejoice. He is constantly working everything in your life for your good, according to Romans 8 and 28. Behind the scenes, your loving Heavenly Father is there, but most of all, He visited us personally. He gave us His Son. He became one of us in order to take our place on Calvary's cross, to receive on Him the punishment for our sins. Because of that, we can have abundant life and a glorious eternal future. Oh, how the Father loves you. Here's another song. Oh, how He loves. Can't remember how that one goes, but anyway, I'm not going to sing it for you. So David concluded his psalm, this psalm, exactly how he began it. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. He sings out the praises of the Lord's majestic name. Maybe he even was singing it louder. Maybe he even sang it in a different key. When we consider God's great love for us and how great He is, we join the chorus in praising His glorious, wonderful, magnificent, majestic name. Amen? Amen. Ephesians 2, 4-7 says this, "But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. You are a shining example of God's goodness and his grace. Would you close your eyes for a moment, please? I have a question for you. Every eye closed? Close your eyes. This is personal. I want it to be personal. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never really considered the fact that you are really, really, really special to God. That he loves you passionately. And perhaps you've never had the opportunity to understand that fully and to hear the truth and to receive Jesus as your Savior. If you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior for the first time this morning, acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you want to be in right relationship with God, receive the truth of the gospel that Jesus died for you, but he rose again. If you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior this morning, would you put your hand up for me and I'll pray for you? Or maybe you're here this morning and you haven't been walking with him very well and you would like to recommit your life to him this morning. The truth of this psalm has penetrated to the very core of your being and there has been a revelation come that you are valuable. You're valuable to God. And you would love to have the opportunity to make that commitment to him this morning. Renew that commitment that you made to him. If you would like to acknowledge before the Lord this morning that you're going for it, no more procrastination, no more being waylaid, you want to live fully for him, would you raise your hand for me this morning? Okay. Anybody else? You want to recommit your life to Jesus this morning? Okay. Father, so much, Lord. So much truth in your word. And Father, we just want to give you praise and thanksgiving for the fact that us little specks of dust in the universe, that you cared enough for each one of us to send Jesus. Sacrifice your perfect, beautiful son. And Father, you saw the hand that was raised that wants to rededicate their life to you. So Father, I ask for your hand of blessing on that. God, that you would restore what has been lost, perhaps, that you would regenerate that spirit life. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to partake of communion this morning. I'll ask Dave and Nancy if they're going to come and help.